we'll get going and hopefully get out of here quickly. Thanks, everyone for coming. On behalf of Senator Bickerman and myself, this is what we call a working group. Obviously, laying the groundwork. Everyone knows that 1812 was passed. They continue to conferee that, but the individual divisions were given to us to, you know, sort through, have a public meeting, which this is, to allow anyone who wants to comment on this, the chance to do so, or at least to understand what's in the bill. As you know, both the Senate and the House passed their bills out. What you see here, and we'll let staff go through it, and Bickerman and I will only editorialize, or members up here if they want to as we go, but we'll let staff do the spreadsheets and the language here. Basically, what you're going to see in a nutshell is originally the House had a fairly decent target. The Senate's target was lower than ours. The numbers you see reflected here are somewhere in between. But we think they're very positive, obviously. If you look at the ag part, particularly with the livestock investment grants, obviously if you have that up, we're higher than the administration and Department of Agriculture. And as far as Veterans Affairs, we're higher than the administration's request in the Veterans Initiative, not counting the GI Bill, which there was excess money in. But if you look at all the other initiatives, there's actually more dollars put forth than what was requested. So we think that's very positive for agriculture and for veterans, and we would hope the administration would find those numbers suitable too as we move into larger negotiations with the conference committee. Beyond that, I can tell you we did not receive a target from the finance group. They're still wrestling, obviously, going back and forth on offers, and discussions are ongoing. We thought it best, I think everyone around this table, to just move ahead. You know, they can mess around as much as they want, but I think this group likes to get things done and move ahead. And we think the quicker we land this on their desk, the less likely it is they're going to ask us to revisit stuff. So, but that is an outside possibility. We hope it's not the case, but there's a chance we could be back after today if we have to redo something. Beyond that, at the end of the day, we'd kind of like to get an informal, I think, vote of the people here at the table that this is acceptable. And what we'll do then is send this amendment on to the Budget Committee, who are doing 1812. This is actually an amendment to that bill, which would be our section. So, anything to add, Senator Bickerman?
I think it'd be kind of nice if we start going on this end and introduce our senators, because I know everybody, but they might.
Well, in fact, let's start way on the end and have staff introduce themselves, too, because we don't always meet up, and on both sides, I think. Tell us your name, and we'll do a House introduction, which is you not only tell us your name and what you do, and some people in the audience, yeah, and we also want to know where you went to high school. That's how we introduce ourselves in my committee in the House, and we start seeing there might be commonalities here, but we'll start down here.
I'm Tom Botter. I'm with Lieutenant Council on Research, and I went to Sherwood High School in Sherwood, Wisconsin.
Greg Knapp with Lieutenant Council Research and Fiscal Analysis. I'm a legislative analyst, and I went to high school in Rosemary High School. It was Alexander Ramsey back then.
Dan Mueller.
Use your mic, Dan.
Dan Mueller, fiscal analyst. I went to high school in Glenville, Minnesota.
Senator Dan Scogan, Senate District 10, went to, I'm a Battle Lake battler.
Steve Bill, State Senator from Jasper, I went to Litchfield High School.
Tim Michaels, Committee Administrator to Senator Bickerman, and I went to De La Salle.
And I'm you and Chief of Staff Charbonneau, I might point out.
Senator Pogamiller.
Pogamiller.
Underclassman.
And I'm Senator Bickerman. I went to Tracy. We were called the Scrappers.
Representative Al Junkie, House of Representatives. I went to Wells Easton High School in the southern part of the state.
Catherine Byer, City Administrator for the House, and I went to Wilmer High School.
I'm Representative Mary Ellen Otremba, and I graduated from Long Prairie, Minnesota.
I'm Brad Finsman, and I represent Laura Ingalls Wilder, Shell Brewery, and Herman McDermott. I graduated from St. James High School. I'm a saint.
Thank you.
I'm Jim Reinholz, fiscal analyst with the House, and I went to Robbinsdale High School.
Colby Solomon with the House Research Department. I went to Abraham Lincoln High School in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Jim Cleary of House Research, and I went to St. Mary's High School in Flutie.
I'm Dana Wilson. I'm committee legislative assistant for Al County. And I went to high school at Walden High School in Racine, Wisconsin.
Dan Dwight, House Republican Research, and High School Bemidji.
David Musilevich, DFL Research. I went to Little Falls High School. I'm a Little Falls flyer.
All right. Well, very good. And if this was the first day of session, we'd have the audience introduce you. We do that in our committee, though, and it's kind of fun. Well, with that, I guess I'd let staff decide. Number one, I think we should maybe go through the spreadsheet. I don't know which fiscal analyst wants to do that, just point out the differences and the changes in there. And then I think you can decide again, but I think the Senate maybe worked more on the veterans language and the House on the ag, or maybe it was vice versa. But you all can decide. I know we didn't tell you that before, but you guys can decide who wants to present what parts of the bill. So, Jim?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll quickly review the spreadsheet. You should all have the same one. It should be dated down at the bottom, 4/22/2012/13, I believe. And the first page is a summary of the general fund appropriations by agency, and I really concentrate on the 08-09, which would be column labeled AR, and then I'll go down to the agencies here as the summary. Like, so this general fund, the Department of Agriculture on line 9, the conference committee recommends $1,238,000 of additional funding, and how that would compare to the House recommendation, that is down. You'll see that in the line in columns A9 and AO. It's down $705,000 from what the House originally brought in as their recommendation, but up $1,500,000 from the Senate position. On line 10 is the Veteran Affairs Department summary of general fund dollars. This is down a total of $4,055,000. And when you go into detail, you'll see that even though this shows up as a negative, that is primarily due to taking credit for what would have canceled the funding from last year for the GI education bill, which has been talked about quite a bit. So that is why this is a negative. It's just taking credit for what dollars that would have canceled. So let me point out the difference between the House and the Senate by going over to those two items. This number, the House came in with $500,000 more funding than this is recommending. Actually, less of a cut is what it worked out to, and the Senate, this is $1,770,000 up from what the Senate's position was. Military Affairs, the total is $405,000 increasing for the biennium. It's up from what the Senate, the House's original position was by $15,000, and up from the Senate's by $30,000. Shows the total net effect on the spending is down $2,412,000 for the biennium. There's $100,000 worth of a revenue change. That's gaining revenue. So the net cost of the general fund shows up there on 17 as down $2,312,000 for the combined budget for those agencies in the general fund for the biennium. Next, I would go through the specific items by agencies. Turning to page 2, line 24, this is the administrative services, basically the general budget reduction in the Department of Ag. The conference committee, once again in column AR, recommends a reduction of $302,000. This was the House position. Senate position was $350,000 more, so it's at the smaller of the two positions on the cut. Line 25, the livestock investment grant program is appropriated $2 million one time only. That less than the House brought in, but more than the Senate. Line 27 was the Elk River grant cancellation. That was a House position on a grant that really the grantee has indicated they're not going to be using the $200,000 from 2007 session. Line 28 is the Agriculture Student Internship Program. This is at $50,000, one time only. That was a House position at a slightly different amount that's matches some federal dollars for an internship program. Line 30 is the next item.
That's titled the Gopher State Ethanol Payment Elimination, and that's $310,000. And in the language, you'll see what really that does. There's no tails on that because the money stays within the Department of Agriculture, actually stays within the value-added program with the current language changes. That would be that line number 33 is an ag stat item that really is related to the bovine TB, and it should be out of this bill. It doesn't change any of the language because it's statutory, and we'll take that. That line item should really be eliminated from the spreadsheet. It's in the bill that the House passed on bovine TB the other day, and the understanding, it's the expectation is the Senate will be passing that soon. Moving down to the Veterans Affairs Department, line 43, there's a $500,000 increase in the County Veterans Services Grant. That was the House recommended position. Line 45, State Soldiers Assistance Program is increased by $3 million. That splits the difference between the House and the Senate positions coming in for that program. The Veterans Caseworkers is increased by $1 million. That was the House position moving up from the Senate position. Line 48, the Link Vet program at $220,000. That was House position and Senate moving up to that position. Line 49, $250,000 increase for Veterans Claim Office. Both sides had that number, so that was the same. Moving down to line 53, Minnesota Veterans, 52, the Veterans Affairs Marketing. Excuse me, that's in there at zero, that one. Line 53, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans Grant is at $250,000. Both sides had that. Line 54 is the Veterans Home Operations Study. The conference committee is recommending $250,000. That's up $50,000 from what the governor requested and what both House and Senate had, but the language on the rider required some additional studies by the department, so the amount was increased. It's really merging in several items. Line 56, this is a reduction that was based on savings that should come about between the because of the transfer of the Veterans Home Board activities to the Veterans Affairs Department, and this is now listed at a savings of $300,000 a year. It's between what the House and the Senate position was coming in. Line 58 is modifications to the GI Bill. This was a Senate position that increases access to those dollars and the amount of dollars that veteran students will be able to collect under this. That was a House position. And there's a $600,000 increase on that. Line 59 is a $100,000 appropriation for the Vets Paramedic Apprenticeship Program. Both sides had that position coming in. Line 60 is the peer-to-peer counseling, $25,000. That was a House position adopted by the conference committee. Line 62 is the medication distribution system improvements. That was a House proposal at $1 million. The conference committee is funding that at $300,000. Line 63 is reductions to the GI Bill appropriation. That's the higher ed student scholarships that were in funded last year that have been, the federal government picked up most of the money and changes they made to their program, so the majority of this money that was appropriated is not expected to be used, and this is canceling that money out so that it could be utilized elsewhere. The amount is really at the, he so estimated that amount in a fiscal note, and so that is the executive branch estimates of the amount that are needed. Line 65 and 67 are really just changes from direct appropriation to statutory appropriation of the dollars that come in from the sales on the Report Our Troops license plates. Both sides have the same changes, and the governor requested that. Moving on to military affairs on the third page, line 78. The conference committee recommends $180,000 for state navigators. That was the House position. The Senate came in slightly lower, but came up to the House. Line 79, the requalification bonus. Both sides had that at that $135,000. Line 80, the supportive guard and reserve troops at $75,000. Both sides had that number, so it's in the conference committee report. Line 82, is the youth challenge study. Both sides had the language on the challenge study. The House didn't originally appropriate money for it. The Senate had $15,000. The conference committee is recommending that money. Line 84 and line 86 are the military affairs portions of the Support Our Troops payment, and that's really just the changing it from direct to statutory once again, non-general fund item 2. Line 87 is Camp Ripley land fund, and this conference committee report is recommending, this working group is recommending $100,000 of special revenue money. That also has $100,000 worth of income down below that offsets that appropriation. That was a Senate position that is being recommended here. The rest of it is really just summaries in total, and other than the revenue changes down below, the revenue changes 108 should be, line 108 should be out of here also because that was part of the bovine TB bill, and if that passes and that bill separately, it would no longer be listed here. The other two are related to the Camp Ripley fund I manage. Mr. Chairman, that would be the spreadsheet recommendation.
So basically, these numbers are now going to match up with the language. But before we go to the language, does anyone have any questions to the spreadsheet in particular? Otherwise, maybe it'd be helpful. We can go through the language, and then some of this will come together for folks. So however you all want to do it. You want to start with the ag portion, maybe, or whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, I'll start with the ag. Mr. Chair and members, the agriculture language begins on page 3. That is a House position that would make funds in the general contingent appropriation available for a prompt response to an invasive tree pest outbreak. Section 5.
Mr. Chair.
Are we working side by side, or is this document, or is this?
Oh. We have the, we're using the amendment, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm working from the amendment in the top right, CEL.
Article 9. Maybe start on the first page, too. I mean, there's new language. Just explain what you're doing, everything that's underlined, what we're doing in here.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, in Section 2, Department of Agriculture, the first rider details where the Department of Agriculture's reductions will come from. The next,
members, I'll interrupt as we go. If anyone wants to interrupt, please ask questions. But we actually asked the department to help us out and tell us which departments or which areas they thought would be wisest if we had to make cuts to. So we appreciate their assistance on this, and that's why we've targeted that money where we think it'd be the least painful, just so you know when that rider lands.
Hey. The next rider is the $2 million one-time appropriation for the livestock nursery grant program. The next appropriation is the cancellation of the Elk River Economic Development Authority grant from last year's budget bill. Next is the $50,000 grant to the Washington Center for Internships and Academic Seminars, and there's more information about how the center can use that money for internship for Minnesota students. Next is the $310,000 reduction of the ethanol producer payment appropriation from last year. That reflects the language later in the bill that calls for no more deficiency payments to Gopher State Ethanol or any other ethanol entity that has ceased production. And finally, we ask for a report from the Department of Agriculture on a proposal for paying unpaid claimants of Gopher State Ethanol. Next, in Section 3, we modify a previous appropriation also from last year to make $12,000 of a $100,000 grant from last year available to reimburse a cattle owner for market losses sustained as a result of restrictions imposed by the Board of Animal Health due to bovine tuberculosis. Section 4 is the language authorizing the general contingent appropriation use for invasive tree pest response. Section 5 is the language detailing the livestock investment grant program, essentially the House language, which includes pasture development as an eligible expenditure. We talk as a staff, just as an FYI at this point, about removing Subdivision 5, the livestock investment grant account, because this is a one-time cash grant program.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, could I just present our members? If you look on the big differences between this and what the Senate language is, if you look on the bottom of page 4, clause 2, the development of pasture, and you can see that the House has language in here
that allows it for pasture, but does restrict it to certain kind of capital improvements to the pasture. So it's a little different than what the Senate committee discussed. We're talking about pasture. And then also wanted to point out that along with what Colby was talking about, in this subdivision 5, the Senate language did not include on page 6, on 6.18. I'm not sure there's a reason for an account, because you're basically appropriating money for the program and their grants, and they don't revolve or anything like that. So I don't think there's a real need. In the Senate side, in the language you'd see in the side-by-side, there was no account because it was deemed not necessary.
Sure. And anything like that that we redo, obviously, we'll approve a contingent on that being redone as this amendment moves forward. So. Yeah, I will also, just on the pasture, just for the Senate side, again, we didn't, like you, we didn't think paying for seed or fertilizer, that type of thing, was the right way to go, but we certainly think if you're putting fencing or feed bunks or drilling a remote well or something, that would be a capital improvement that certainly could qualify, so we kind of specified some of that.
The bond qualified under some of the other language.
And it may have qualified already, but we're just putting in some comfort language so that people know what's up.
Mr. Chair and members, page 6, section 6 is the final agriculture policy provision. That's an amendment to the ethanol producer payment program law. Both sides had a similar provision coming in. We changed where this provision is located. We put it in statute so it will apply not just to an entity that declared bankruptcy in 2004, but to any entity from here going forward who ceases to produce ethanol on a commercial scale at their original location.
To members, again, we had staff and council on both sides, both Senate and House, working on this, and council that's not in the room right now either. And basically looking at, as you know, there was an Attorney General's opinion that the way our statutes were written, we had to continue making those payments. We think this language is not as directed to go for state, but rather it's for any ethanol plant. Well, this could happen in the future, and I think if it does, certainly we don't want to be making producer payments to someone who's not producing. The other thing, and I know we've heard from grain elevators and others, there's a whole list of people that are owed money from this bankruptcy. I've got it in my office. And so rather than us trying to become the bankruptcy court here, it was council's advice to us that we, as you saw the language earlier, have the commissioner delve into this, take a look at things, and come back to us next year. That money will still be there. It's just canceled back into our ethanol producer payments fund. And we can make that decision next year then, rather than us trying to sit here by the seat of our pants and decide, you get paid, you don't, you. That's probably not the best work the legislature will have done. So,
well, Mr. Chair, we could do that, but the court might say we don't have the authority to do that.
That's right. So rather than cause a blow-up with the Attorney General and the courts and everyone, we thought we'd take a go-slow approach, but recognize that there are people out there that are owed money from this bankruptcy, and what, if any, part the state should play in that. We'll make that decision next year and come back.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know that I've been very strongly recommend we pay farmers who haul corn in there who didn't get paid for the corn. My own opinion, and that's not the judge's opinion, that you haul corn in there, your corn
made the ethanol.
Should be first, makes the ethanol. But, so that's why I'm going to hold very tight, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. Veterans Affairs, Article 10.
Mr. Chairman, I can pick up on that for you. Beginning on page 9, you'll see the riders for Veterans Affairs. The first one is for $500,000 for the grant to county for veteran service officers. That's the House language on that one. The next is the $3 million appropriation to the Soldiers Assistance Fund. And then on page 10, the very top there, that's the fragment of the sentence that basically says the amounts appropriated in 08 are available, or rather the, I think it's the amount appropriated in fiscal 2009 is available this year if need be. The next rider on line 10.3 is $1 million for the casework services for veterans. That's in the House language. Next is the $220,000 for the LinkVet telephone line service, and that also includes the efficiency recommendation to combine the toll-free higher ed call center with that. Next, beginning on line 10.21, is the House language to appropriate money for the expansion of eligibility for the GI Bill program, and that includes $800,000 in the base in the 010 and 11. Following that are the reductions made from the higher ed, the GI Bill program, and you can see those are, that's taken from the House language. At the very bottom of page 10 is the grant to the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And then on page 11, there's $250,000 in 2009 for the Veterans Claims Office. That's the Senate side that includes the language clarifying the positions to be added with the appropriation. Then there's $100,000 to the Minnesota Ambulance Association for the paramedic apprenticeship program. That's taken from the health
fund. I want to make a note here. I brought this before the committee, and they were very, very supportive of adding a female veteran to assist in some of the things that go on. So I just want to note that. With very strong feelings in our committee. I noticed it's in there, and I just want to bring that up.
Continuing on then, Mr. Chairman, and beginning on 11.17, you'll see the $25,000 for the Combat Veteran Peer-to-Peer Counseling from the House language. Then on 11.21, this is the House language reflecting the, it's basically the elimination of the direct appropriation from the Support Our Troops license plate. That's picked up with a statutory appropriation of that money later on in the bill. Then beginning on line 11.25 is the $250,000 for the study of the veterans' homes, and there's a new clause 3 on page 12 that includes the designing a treatment program for veterans with traumatic brain injuries. That's added from the other provision that was eliminated.
Members, you saw that on your spreadsheet, not specifically, but there was a line that was blanked out that had a $50,000, and that was moved over into this section. So it didn't disappear, it just simply moved. That was the TBI line. And we're actually, again, for those that didn't hear, or for the Senate side in particular, you know, that there was a question, you know, should we be outreaching for TBI and post-traumatic brain injury and that type of thing. We think we're beyond reaching out. We think we're to the point where we need to develop treatment plans. And so what we're doing here is asking Veterans Home and Department of Veterans Affairs to come up with a treatment plan that we can talk about next year then and start implementing. We need to treat these folks. I think every Veterans County Service Officer and everyone in this room know that TBI and post-traumatic brain is a problem. So let's start moving forward with treatment, and that's what this is reflected at the link.
Chair,
Senator Richman.
Look at the paper today. I can't remember exactly how many suicides are taking place, but we have to get a handle on that. That shouldn't be happening.
Right. And I'll also point out to members, as you see the second bill that's coming through maybe Thursday, which was part of this a bill when it started, and as you know, we separated into two bills as we move forward. You'll see some, again, some more supportive language for some of these studies that'll show up over there. Certainly, the other thing, and I think you were down there with Representative Pelosi and Walls and Dyrud, I believe, was there, the commissioner and others. As I read those reports this morning, Senator Vickerman, one of the things one of the papers reported that was said was there was a, even though it's great to have these services available at a vet's hospital in Minneapolis, there's a real lack of that availability in rural Minnesota. And so what we're going to try and do between now and next year is start discovering ways to deliver those services across the state, county by county. And so a lot of this language and the money you see here for studies and other things, we're being real directive, and I know the department's already started work along with military affairs. How do we put out a new model for delivering these services for veterans? So you'll see that reflected here as well as in the other bill that's coming in the next couple days.
Mr. Chair, also yesterday, being over there, they brought up to my attention and everybody else's attention that we need to take a look at sexual violence that's going on with some of the female soldiers coming back. So we're going to study that, and we need to take a look at that and see what we need to do.
So, and again, for all of that, you see the caseworker money reflected in this here, in this report, $2 million. That caseworker money is to start addressing these things right now. because a lot of these folks have multiple layers of things that they need treatment for, or help for, or assistance on. And so we recognize our limitations, I think, here in the department and others, and we're going to bring in, actually, I think, caseworkers and start moving that direction to help assist in our county. All right. Let me interrupt you.
Okay. Picking up again on page 12, Mr. Chairman, on line page 12, line 11, there's a language reflecting the $300,000 savings from the efficiencies resulting from the transfer of the Veterans Homes Board to the Department of Veterans Affairs. Then following that is a $300,000 appropriation for the medication distribution system improvements.
And again, just to interrupt you there for a minute, the $300,000 reduction, again, I appreciate the department. They actually came forward with where they thought there could be some cost savings. We had plugged in $1 million in the House, which started the discussion, but they came forward, and this is reflective of that number. And we had told them whatever we can save, we'd like to put down into the homes. And so that 300, even though it's a savings in the base, shows up in 12.2 as a medication distribution system that'll go down to the soldiers in the home. So whatever we're saving, we're passing down right into the home operation.
Mr. Chair, I think that's going to give us a better handle on what's going on over there, so we don't pick the paper up and see some checks. So I think it's great, and I know we'd like to do it for all of them, but I think maybe start with Minneapolis and see how many of them we need. I have no idea how many you'd need, and I can pick up from
them. I'll certainly editorialize a little here, Senator Vickerman. The other thing for the Senate's sake is we did get the budgets moved over to the House when the home board was transferred to Veterans Affairs, because Department of Veterans Affairs now. That hasn't quite been accomplished in the Senate yet, so we're hopeful that next year we're all dealing with the same budget and we're not kind of going between two or three different committees. So I'm waiting for you, Senator Vickerman.
Don't give up on the Senate.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, page 12, the last writer, is the reporting requirements for the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. The House language had a number of different reports sprinkled throughout the Veterans Affairs appropriations. This basically consolidates those and says if there's an item that receives an appropriation in this bill, the Commissioner will report to the legislature on it. Then, starting with the statutory provisions on page 13, most of these are identical to the way they appeared in one of the Senator Housewell coming in. At the very top of page 13 is the World War II Memorial Donation Matching Account. Following that are the statutory changes made to the Support Our Troops Appropriation, making that a statutory appropriation. That's sections 5 and 6. Then, beginning at the bottom there in section 7, these are the expansion of eligibility. It's a string of sections related to the expansion of eligibility for the GI programs that were contained in legislation that the chair authored on the House side, and it's reflected in the House spreadsheet. It's basically a variety of ways to expand eligibility and redefining the cost of attendance here. On page 14, you'll see some of the changes in eligibility a little more clearly. And it's also reflecting increased eligibility for graduate school education. But in the middle of page 14, for example, you'll see that there are a variety, in addition to 90 days of active duty in a foreign country during retirement possibilities, if the individuals receive one of the medals listed here, that's another way to qualify. Section 8, beginning on the bottom of page 14 and carrying over to 15, clarifies that basically the person receiving the assistance must be a Minnesota resident at the time they're attending the educational institution, and it strikes the clause 2 there, which would have required or currently requires residency at the time of, basically at the time of enlistment. Then there's some other technical changes at the bottom of page 15, just updating the references to financial aid applications. Then on page 17, the final change in that series of changes is to increase the amount of educational assistance, the limit, to $3,000 per fiscal year. The $1,000 per semester is retained, so basically this would allow an individual to attend three semesters in a year and still receive the benefits. And there are a few other minor changes. Article 11 begins on page 17. The writers begin on page 18. The few changes to those. You have the $75,000 for the state enhancement of the employer support of the Guard and Reserve program, followed by the $135,000 biannual bonus payments to National Guard medics for recertification, $180,000 to state navigator positions for reintegration, and on page 18, line 15, the reduction from the direct appropriation from the Support Our Troops account. Again, that's picked up with a statutory appropriation elsewhere in the bill. Then finally, the $15,000 that was in the Senate bill for the National Guard Youth Challenge Program study. Section 4 at the bottom of page 18 is the statutory appropriation from the Support Our Troops money. Then at the bottom of page 19, you'll see the Camp Ripley language, basically changing this from the revenue from that will now be transferred as shown on page 20 in section 6. The Adjutant General can sell the timber and then use the proceeds directly to manage the timber resources at Camp Ripley. Section 7 in the middle of page 20 is the language for the State Enhanced Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve Program. Section 8, at the bottom of that page, implements the medical recertification bonus program. No changes to that language. Then on page 21, section 9, there's an expansion of the tuition and textbook reimbursement grant program to allow the use of that by the spouse of a person who is eligible for that tuition reimbursement. Section 10 is the Starbase study. It was contained in the House language. And basically just makes the appropriations made in 07 available until June 30th, 2009. And finally, Mr. Chairman, you'll see the language for the National Guard Youth Challenge Program study as it appeared coming into this conference committee.
Okay, this again was put together today basically, so if staff or members or anyone in the audience notices any changes, we'd sure like to know about them in the next few minutes, and anyone else who wants to come up, feel free. Christine, you want to do? Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Come to the table. Introduce yourself. We're recording it, just, you know.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee working group, Christine Field, Department of Veterans Affairs. The only technical change we need is regarding the SSAT, and since
give us a page.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it would be. Well, I don't know if you would want to put it on page 9 or page 10. 10.1 or 10.2, but we are expecting a deficit in the way this is written. We wouldn't be able to use the money until July 1st, so we're wondering if we could just get something like an effective date to that little part of it, so we could use it immediately as soon as the funds are available.
Fiscal staff on either side, you got a grasp of that?
Mr. Chairman, at the very beginning of that article, if you go to section 2 on page 9, the last sentence in that paragraph says supplemental appropriations and reductions to appropriations for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2008 are effective the day following final enactment. Should take
you
care
of it.
You
got it as soon as it's signed.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. Anything else while you're there?
Nope, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments? We'll take positive comments, too. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Colonel Eric Allness, Director of Government Relations and graduate of Windham Area High School, born in Tracy for
right.
Member there. So just wanted to express appreciation. And first of all, Speaker Pelosi, as mentioned earlier, came to the state, and it was largely in recognition of what we're doing as a state and beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program and what the state legislature and all the communities within the state are doing to make this a great way. And it's really an unprecedented visit. You don't have the speaker going out to states to the VAs to visit with that. So I want to just show that as a sign of all the good things we're doing. Additionally, and encourage everyone here to put this on their calendars, on 16 June, the Secretary of the Army is going to be coming to the state to celebrate military families and the Yellow Ribbon communities that we do. And we're looking at putting together a big event at the state capitol. So, of course, want to have the members there for that. But the bottom line, as I talk about both those things, it's just to express our appreciation to the legislature for your ongoing support and your efforts, because it's not just supporting us, it's what you're doing yourself to unearth what needs to be done to support the military people and the veterans when they come back, and especially during these challenging times for those serving in uniform. And stand by for any questions.
I would also add to that, I think my son, who is at the headquarters unit and deploying with the 800 members that are leaving. I think they've announced a May 31st deployment send-off party or recognition that day. I don't know if you know any more about that at this point, but they will be, we have 800 members leaving for Fort Sill, Oklahoma on May 31st, and they'll be deployed for a year. So, and my son is one of them, so we want to do all we can.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, and that'll be from the Army Aviation Support Facility right in Holman Field, so invite everyone down to that.
That's correct. Good. Any other questions for Colonel Almas?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any other questions or comments from members, staff, in the audience? Now's your time. Representative Finstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not to be overly nitpicky, but if I can turn you to page 21.
Okay.
Section 10, the Starbase study. And I believe that came up from a different committee in the House.
Yep. My question just like the Senate, you know, we're hoping they get the home board budget. We're hoping we can get the military affairs budget, because right. That goes to, for some reason, to Representative Kahn, who does a very nice job, but Representative Finstead.
Well, Mr. Chair, my question is, and I don't know if this was some Senate language also, but in my 6 years, I mean, we're pretty careful about being very specific on who we're telling the departments to contract with without any RFP or any competition. So someone can educate me or inform me on why we're telling the Department of Military Affairs that they must contract with the Wilder Foundation to conduct this study.
And that is a good question. You'll notice back in the earlier language when we talked about doing the caseworker, we didn't specify which organization would be doing that. So maybe Senate Counsel can give us a history on that, or...
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's a health provision. So
well, the house? Oh, I don't want to go get Representative Kahn. Maybe Mr. Cleary, do you know?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members, I don't know where this language came from, but I do know that the Wilder Foundation is the preeminent evaluation organization in the Twin Cities area.
Frankly,
so
I don't know.
It didn't surprise me at the time, but I don't know where it came from.
There we go.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Terry Palmer, Department of Military Affairs. Actually, the original appropriation came out of a committee where then Speaker Swigum and Representative Kahn thought it would be very interesting to find out what impact Starbase had on students, because they've heard a lot of good things about the program. So they appropriated money for that purpose, but as we went into the contracting of it, we discovered that it's very difficult to gain access to student records from the school because of privacy, and Wilder already had a relationship with the school district, so it makes it much easier for them to conduct the study in a more timely and more effective, efficient way than if we went out for bid. So that's why the language was changed, actually.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the testimony. You know, I'm not going to raise hay with it, but I want to just say it's a slippery slope when we start telling the departments exactly who, when, and how they have to contract with these people. I mean, to me, it's the slippery slope that starts smelling of corruption and earmarking, and I just, we've kept it pretty good in the 6 years that I've been here. I guess what you're saying does make sense, because it is a complex issue as far as the school districts go, so... If no one else seems to have followed, I guess I'm playing.
The
Representative Kahn doing this scared me a little bit.
and in the future, it's something we should be cognizant of. Certainly, we can draft language without the actual recipient being named in here that would probably narrow it to a certain qualified recipient or number of recipients. All right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Wilder Foundation is a very important, very reputable group. I want to be sure you understand that. So we didn't just put it out someplace.
Thank you. Any other questions, members? Yes, Senator Dill.
I'd like to go to pages 4 and 5, Lifeblood Investment Grant Program.
Okay.
And I can look at Ned and myself are kind of calling and fundraising. And somebody's going to say, well, the stupid legislature has got a program to provide up to $50,000 grant for people to get into nuclear.
What?
You know, as Democrats, Senator Gill, that's not a bad thing. They could add elephants.
I already made that comment. I'm just wondering if we really want to promote further mule production in this state. And I also question llamas and
eradicate. Well, I always respond on llamas. I do know of some llama producers in my district. So, and if they want to upgrade or they have problems with feedlots, with PCA, and they need to do some upgrades, I think that's why they're listed here, obviously. We want them to be eligible for a couple thousand dollars if they might
need. What do you do with the llama? Where is the market for a llama?
I don't know where the market is. It's mainly selling
to wool.
It's the
chair.
Yeah. Make sweaters.
It's very soft.
Right. It's better than cheap.
Well, no, don't. Maybe,
well, and I try to get people talking to produce a product where there's no market except for other people that need to feed. I'm gun shy on it.
And staff on either side, maybe.
What's the market for Indians and oranges anyway?
Well, Senator Dill, maybe staff can tell us where they got all these listings. I suspect it's in our statute somewhere under a definition, but Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members, that's true. This list was taken from an existing definition of livestock in statute. There are four or five definitions of livestock in statute. Some are very inclusive. Like, I think this is probably the most inclusive definition. There are others that are more limited depending on the context, but this is from an existing list.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
if that's the list,
where are the horses then?
If
you got mules in there, land or horses?
I don't know.
Do
you
want to
add something?
Well, I'm just wondering if we could shrink the list a little bit and focus on what's really important. And just to continue on for a minute, under this passage that I'm on, on line 4.33, the word raceway. Raceway used by dairy cows returning from pasture to central location for milking. The word raceway is one that I'm not familiar. I haven't heard that used before. I've heard of livestock lanes, cattle lanes, and so forth. But the word raceway, it kind of sounds like,
if you got it, it's the milking time, that's why I raised them in. Mr. Sullivan, can you tell us where that came from?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, that I did draft this language on behalf of Representative Peterson when this was first added to the bill, and the constituents he was working with came to me with a very specific list that included the word raceway, so that's how it ended up, and then maybe we could probably have some testimony on what raceways are, exactly, but
And I agree with Senator Dill. Is it more clear to say lanes, or is it more, I mean, what's the common term out there now in dairy country? I'm looking at my ag guys out there. None of them are jumping up and down too much.
I don't really use them that much.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Cows still go from remote pastures back and forth. Cattle lanes.
Cattle lanes.
Just to care if it's raceways, we have to have speed limit signs.
Maybe.
Welcome.
Bobby King with the Land Stewardship Project. We've got several members who graze, and they call them raceways, and any of those terms mentioned, I think, would be fine. But basically, it's just when you have when you're doing rotational management intensive rotational grazing, you've got lots of smaller paddocks, and the cows take the same path back to the milking parlor and gets muddy, and it needs to be improved. So it's not all sloppy. So some folks call them raceways. I don't know if there's a term that the university uses or not, but lanes, I think, would be just as good.
Sure.
Yeah, Senator Rickman.
I think we ought to change that, because remember, we have to go before an awful lot of people. Yep. They're going to say, what are you racing those cows for?
Should we just insert lanes?
Just lanes.
Livestock lanes.
Mr. Chairman, further discussion on that line. You know, originally this whole idea was to focus on the dairy industry. We were 3 or 4 years ago talking about a tax credit to promote the dairy industry. Now we've expanded it to include a whole range of livestock. Except on this particular line, we are narrowing the subsidy to the dairy cows using a livestock lands. And I'm just wondering, and that's okay with me in a way to focus this on the dairy industry because I think that's where we need to help them. But on the other hand, it's not consistent with the rest of the section.
Well, the question I have is, I think that's probably really the only ones that regularly use these lanes. I mean, you're a chief guy. They don't, you don't move back and forth every day, do you, on lanes or even the beef folks?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that have livestock lanes. They take their livestock from a farm fed to a pasture that's in a low ground or...
I mean, we don't have to be specific. Is there a way to...
Well, the simplest way to do it is just say livestock units. Lanes used by livestock are turning from pasture to a central location.
Okay. Senator Dill leads that amendment. On 4.33, replace raceways with livestock lanes and replace dairy cows to livestock.
Mr. Chair, we could just say I
and milking is out too. And then remove for milking. Okay, so it reads livestock lanes used by livestock returning from pasture to a central location. That's acceptable to everyone? Let's vote on it just to make sure.
Can you repeat it?
On 4.33 and 3.4, the new language will read I. Livestock lanes used by livestock returning from pasture to a central location, period.
Too many livestock.
Yeah, another word for the... I know we're redundant on livestock. I agree with that.
Lanes,
okay. It'll read lanes used by livestock returning from pasture to a central location. All those in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll make that change. Thank you. Yes, Senator Dill.
It's only kind of a pasture development. We've got the lanes, and then we got the watering systems on Title Page 5, and then we've got livestock stream crossing stabilization. But the word fence, I don't see the word fence.
I think that's down on 5.23.
Well, I see that, but that's under another section. Why would that also appear under the section of text?
I guess I'd ask counsel on either side their interpretation. Would we have to have fencing specifically up in livestock, or do you think all of this stuff under that next section would include to that table?
Mr. Chairman, it kind of depends what you're trying to do. If you look on, it's a bit more complicated. On page 5, if you look at 5.24, it says that except for qualifying pasture development expenditures, crossing expenditures must be capitalized and deducted under the IRS code. So you do have fences under number 3, but it would have to qualify to be capitalized and deducted under the IRS code. So you do have fences, and fences are included under number 3 above the acquisition of equipment for livestock, housing, confinement, feeding. So you could do fences, but the fences would have to be deductible.
So then
they would be, Mr. Chairman, sir, they would be included then, because fences are included for all, not just pasture. It'd be anybody who's dealing with under number 3, the acquisition of equipment for housing, confinement, and any livestock confinement would be included.
Are we sure livestock stream crossing stabilization is deductible?
That, Mr. Chairman, Senator, that would not have to be, because that's under Clause 2. Right. It doesn't have to be deductible.
Right. So the Clause 2 items are not necessarily deductible. The Clause 3 items are under our IRS. Senator Dill?
Well, since we're getting everything out of the table here at once, at one point in time, I had a suggested amendment that would include livestock corrals, sorting, restraining, and loading tubes. And the restraining part is the part I like as a veterinarian, because it's not handy there to be out with a laser all kind of such livestock.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to, is that a deductible item?
It certainly is.
Do you want to add a Roman numeral 18 with that?
Yeah.
Okay, add Roman numeral 18. Do you want to repeat that?
Livestock corrals. Let's put it down this way. Livestock pens and corrals. Sorting, restraining, and loading chutes.
Say that one more time.
Livestock pens and corrals. And sorting, loading, and sorting, restraining, and loading chutes.
Staff get that?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think what...
You read that back to us.
What you'd want to do then is we're adding new clause 18, or item 18. Livestock pens, corrals, sorting, restraining, and loading chutes.
Any discussion of that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes. Thank you. So add an item 4 after line 5.3, add a item 4 and put fences. Discussion of that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That prevails.
Hey,
Senator Bill.
Senator Bill, if you don't want to raise yields, we'll take her off of us.
Well, is it really in the public interest to subsidize people that are producing a product that has no market?
Well, and again, Senator Dill, it does have a market maybe for meat, but it certainly has a market for pets and for, in fact, I see someone sitting in the audience whose mother has a donkey that they use in the parade, as does Kent Deacon and others. So there is a market for them. It's just not a, it's not a food market. Come on up here. Come on up here and tell us. I know that. But you can say it for the record.
Do we need to add donkeys then?
No. tell us your name.
If we're going to add mules, we should add meat too.
My name is Lindsay Wilfather, for the record, and for the record, a donkey is not the same thing as a mule.
And for the record, your mother has one of those, right?
For the record, we have a miniature spotted Mexican donkey.
And for the record, how is that animal in parades?
Well, sir, donkeys have a reputation, and he certainly lives up to it. Also, for the record, I used to work on an alpaca and a llama farm.
Okay. And what were the llamas used for?
Well, llamas are very popular in western states as sheep guards, guarding sheep and other livestock.
Senator Dill, are you...
And they are ferocious defenders, apparently, against coyotes. Alpaca are very prized for their fiber.
Chair, I think we should leave the mules there, because I did get 2 emails and I forgot to add me. And they did take them to Tracy Boxcar. So one of us will pick him up, put him up on the screen, because he's kind of stubborn. So there, if he lays down, he won't even get up, he won't get it.
That is from the experience of the donkey as well.
Better deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, a mule is a... It's when you take a jackass and cross it on a female horse or a mare. That's a mule. You get a mule out of the deal. But if you get the other way around and take a stallion and you put it on a female donkey, you get a mule.
I think we better just stay with mules.
And certainly, Senator Bill, I understand your concern. But I would say my suggestion, I think Senator Bickerman's, is just leave it for now. And if we want to review the definition of livestock that's scattered throughout our statutes, that might be a good exploration for committee next year. I'm sure Representative Tremba would love to do that. Yes, Senator Bill.
Just one other point here. When you're crossing a jackass on a mare, and the mare is a draft mare, then you make a big 4 foot hole for the horse to stand in.
Chair,
with all honesty, now I can tell my wife I dealt with asses today. But Mr. Chair, in all seriousness, Kobe referenced the definition of livestock. I mean, can we is it defined differently in different parts of statute? Would it be fair enough to just delete everything after the word livestock? and that leave it blank enough where we don't hamper production of, you know, horses or whatever it may be that's not included in the list that you have defined?
Mr. Chair and Representative Finstead, my understanding, what happens if we don't define a term like livestock is that then the Department of Agriculture has to define what is and what is not livestock. So I think either we make the decision at the legislature level or the department makes that decision.
And again, I think we're better off to leave it alone for now. We'll see what happens. Hopefully this gets passed and we can start this program. And if there's a big concern or need for other livestock we're missing, we can certainly add that. We go,
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Senator Dill.
I just wanted to point on this. I think everybody should know that the way that it's stated here on page 6 on the process is that the grants will be offered based on the date they arrive at the Department of Agriculture. There's not going to be any sort of shooting decided whether it's a dairy project and there's more wording than a ostrich project. So but if we leave it this way, people in the audience and others should know that the sooner you get your application in, the sooner you're going to get your money because it goes by the date it arrives at the department. So I'm not sure that's the correct way of doing it, but that's the way it is in here anyway.
Right. And the way it's there this year, Senator Dill, and other subsequent years is, you know, if we could fund the entire fiscal note, that wouldn't be a problem. And the fiscal note was about $10 million a year, and we hope to do that, I hope, in coming years to convince people to do it. Then we should be able to fund everything that comes in based on the fiscal note. But somehow there has to be a sorting if you're under that $10 million a year. And, you know, I guess it was discussed, and I don't know what you discussed in the Senate, but we just had a first-come, first-served on that basis. You know, who's ready to go, who's got the loans in line, who's got the need, and to the witness.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris Raddatz with Minnesota Farm Bureau, Public Policy Director. Not to prolong the debate, but we do have a sizable number of Farm Bureau members who are own horses, and we actually have a equine committee that advises our board on equine policy, and the chair is sitting in the back of the room and reminds me that horses are a $1 billion industry to Minnesota, and they're facing some real significant challenges with limiting some of the horse slaughter issues, and it's really put a cramp on their industry. So we would hope that horses could be included in this for the record, hopefully with this bill, and for sure considering it as it moves forward. So
members, be all right adding horses?
So moved.
Senator Scogan moves to add horses to the livestock line. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
That prevails. Thank you. Okay, to the bill or to the amendment. Anyone else? Yes.
Mr. Sherman, the only thing I wanted to bring up, since this was done on the floor of the Senate on the ethanol payment, and I'm not sure if people have thought about the effective date of the change on section 6.
What page is it?
Well, it starts on page 6, but the language is on page 8, mm-hmm. where you have the commissioner shall not make a deficiency to an entity that no longer produces ethanol. There's no effective date stated, so it'll be July 1st, if it's not stated, and it's a bill appropriating money. And I don't know if the July 1st date is the right date, or if you wanted to have a different date than that.
Does staff know when the payments go out?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, if you look on the top of page 8, you see payments will be made on November 15th, February 15th, May 15th, and August 15th. But I wasn't sure if there's enough money, because I didn't know if the May 15th payment was included in the estimates for the amount of money that's saved by not making the payment. I don't know if somebody from the Department of Ag might want to address.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How do we make sure another check doesn't get in the mail?
Mr. Chairman, Steve Ernest, Financial Management Director, Department of Agriculture. If the effective date is July 1st, our payment for the last quarter of this fiscal year will go out until after that, and so we don't know until that last quarter payment goes out how much we have left over for deficiencies, so we wouldn't make.
So our, Mr. Ernst, our fiscal note actually starts July 1st on this, right? So 310, so we're essentially already have accounted for the May 15th payment.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal note is including the 09 amount of $310,000. This fiscal year, we do not anticipate having much left over. I think there might be $2,000 that we would have estimated to go to that one that's not producing, in addition to the $310,000, and I could check that if you'd like.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, it sounds like we're okay. Okay. Most generally for the next fiscal year. So.
Ms. Byer, talk in the microphone for us.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Don't explain it to me. Explain it to the committee.
We could have one of the House researchers discuss Section 5, Subdivision 5, talking about the livestock investment grant fund, whether it needs to be the special revenue fund rather than the agriculture fund.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think we talked earlier about taking out Subdivision 5. You could do that as a motion now, okay. Just on 6.18, delete Subdivision 5.
Right. We'll move to remove Subdivision 5, 6.18 through 6.23. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. That motion prevails. Anything else we need, Ms. Player?
How about you, Mr. Michael? You want to talk to him?
Anything else? Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, with me, one more thing that was just brought to my attention on behalf of our EBO and the Office of Higher Ed. With the cut to the GI Bill, and the money you're adding back in, that still does not leave enough for the administrative costs. So we're wondering if we can not delay things here, but work with staff to maybe work on some language that allows from last year's rider to just somehow work out the flexibility of administrative funding, because last year's rider only allows 3% of the appropriation to be used for administrative funding. That would only leave them $24,000 with the new appropriation for administrative funding. So if we can work something out about that.
I guess I'm pretty sure talk about it before the bill comes off.
Okay.
I guess we'll leave it at that. I can't imagine there's a lot to do anymore if you're down to that level of grants and awards going out. So I think you're going to have to come visit with our fiscal staff. I know you've been going back and forth with fiscal staff. If you can get them some justification, we can certainly look at it.
We will do that. Thank you.
Hey, anything else? Otherwise, members, I think.
Mr. Chair,
yes, Senator Bickerman.
Now, this was a difficult thing to do when we don't have any money. Huh? Nobody wants to cut any money. Nobody wanted to cut any money from ag, but we had to face reality. We had to cut down. And I think between the two of us that we've done an excellent job. Not everybody didn't do it, but all we wanted, but we've done the very, very best we could.
Well, I would point out to members of the audience, too, your advocacy will be important, not only to the Senate and House folks here, but also to the administration as we move forward. This division and education were the only two that received a positive target. And so we're going to try and make sure we don't roll back into that other group, because Senator Bickerman's right, it'd be very difficult to come and start redoing all this, and I think everyone at the table agrees with that. So. We're looking forward to your advocacy with the proper folks as this moves over into 1812, including the members of that committee. You can put a word in for us. I think you're right. I think this group, both committees in the House and the Senate, and the staff here have done a good job of putting together a bill that I think we can be proud of this year, the section of it. We never get 1812 out the door. But again, frankly, I'll say this on the tape. If we can't get 1812 out the door, we are passing another bill in a couple days from the House. You passed it in the Senate yesterday. We're gonna hang on to that bill for a while. And, we're going to keep our options open for moving this money any way we can before the end of the year. So I'll put that on the record, too. All right, any other discussion from anyone? Otherwise, I'll renew the motion that we adopt the 01 amendment here to House File 1812 as amended, and instruct the staff as they go forward if they find other changes need to be, technical changes that they could certainly accomplish that between here and the committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That prevails. Members, I appreciate your time for the working group. Hopefully we don't have to come back. Merger.